I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. There are two passages. One is in the Gospel of John, the sixth chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. The other is the Gospel of Matthew, sixth chapter, and also beginning with the 25th verse. But we will begin with the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work of God?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one whom he has sent." And so they ask him, "What miraculous signs then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you this bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." And then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And then in the Gospel of Matthew, the sixth chapter, we will read verse 25 and 26, and then we will skip down to verse 31. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Then in the 31st verse, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well." Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have been worshiping with us during the past few weeks, you are aware that we have been giving some consideration to this whole matter of prayer. We've been doing that for two reasons. One reason we have been considering prayer is because we have come to recognize how important prayer is for us. And we recognize its importance when we remember how many times people stop us and ask us to pray for them. But the second reason that we have been looking at the matter of prayer is this, because prayer is so important, we want to be able to pray with power and to have a prayer life that is effective. This morning, I want to spend just a few moments reviewing the place that we have been that brings us up to where we are in our scripture and in the text of this sermon, of this prayer that Jesus has used to teach us how to pray. You know, as we have gone back to consider this matter of prayer, we are aware that Jesus had a good bit to say about that. And much that he had to say about that came in response to a question that the disciples had asked him. They made the connection that there was a connection between the way that Jesus prayed and the way he lived. And so one day they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus answered, "This is the way you should pray." And he went on to give them what we call the Lord's Prayer. In reality, it's not the Lord's Prayer at all. It's the disciples' prayer. It is the prayer that only a believer can use. You know, and as we look at that prayer, we recognize that he is not sharing with us a formula that we are supposed to memorize and then repeat every day, but rather he is sharing with us things that ought to be a part of our daily prayer life. And as Jesus comes to talk with us about that, he lets us know that prayer should move in three directions. First of all, our prayers must deal with God in all of his glory, as we give him his supreme place, not only in our lives, but in the whole of his universe. The second part of the prayer is that we pray for ourselves, not only our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs as well. And the third part of the prayer is the ascription. There is no petition. There are no needs. We find ourselves standing in the presence of the living God, and with our souls on tiptoe, with every fiber of our being, we give him the praise and the worship which is his. Well, now, during these past few weeks, we have dealt with the first part of that prayer, the part that deals with God in all of his glory. And this is what we have discovered. God is our Father who is in heaven. And as we stand in awe and wonder before the majesty of his holiness, we recognize that for all of his holiness, he knows us and he loves us and he cares for us individually. We remember that our purpose is to magnify and to glorify and to exalt his name. And we can do that when we remember that it is through the majesty of his name that he has revealed himself to us. And more often than not, he does that at the point of our need. And so when we receive the abundance of his provision, as it has been expressed in his name, then we can worship him and we can magnify his name. We also are reminded that we are the children of a king, and as such our citizenship is in heaven. That's a unique country. It's not geographical territory, but it is within you, in the minds and the hearts and the wills of his people everywhere. And we know that we are living in the kingdom of God when we live in his righteousness and his peace and his joy. Our great desire is for the will of God to be done in our lives just as it is done in heaven. That's important for us because if we are not living in the will of God, then there is a war taking place in our lives and we are in a mess. Now this morning we want to begin looking at the second part of his prayer, the part that deals with our personal needs. And as Jesus instructs us about how to pray, this is what he said. This is the way you should pray. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, that's a rather simple and direct request, isn't it? Father, give us today the food that we need. I'm convinced this morning that there are two dimensions to that request. Not only are we asking for the physical food we need, but I believe we are also asking for the spiritual food that we need. Let's look at the spiritual dimension first. In John's part of the scripture that we read this morning, Jesus is saying to a group of people, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life." And then he went on to say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger." And you know, when those people hearing that didn't understand at all what he was talking about, Jesus went on to explain. And he made a connection between himself as the bread of life and the manna that their forefathers ate in the wilderness. You remember the story? The children of Israel had come to Elim in their journey across the wilderness. And when it came to that point of their travels, all of the provisions they had brought from Egypt were gone. These people were hungry. And it was at that moment that God stepped in to make provision. He gave them manna. That manna was bread from heaven. It was the same for every man. A small flake-like thing on the ground that tasted like honey. And every morning they gathered the necessities for that day, and they were sustained. But even though it was the same for every man, that manna also became what every man needed to live. If you needed an extra dose of vitamin C, that manna became vitamin C. If you needed more iron, it was iron. If you needed calories, it was calories. Whatever you needed to live, the manna became that thing. But now here's Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. And when he said that, in reality, he was saying to these people, I am the reality of that manna. And that's the truth. You see, Jesus is the same for every man. But he is what every man needs to live. If you need peace, to receive Jesus is to receive peace. If you need forgiveness, to receive Jesus is to receive forgiveness. If you need wholeness, to receive Jesus is to receive wholeness. If you need love, to receive Jesus is to receive love. See, this is one of the things we pray for in this prayer. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Give us the grace to feed on Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And as we feed on him, we shall live. But that's not all. Not only is he talking about the spiritual food that we need, but he's talking about the physical food as well. Let me tell you the truth. You and I can stand in the presence of God this morning and we can say, Father, give us this day our daily bread, and we are guaranteed that he will do it. You know, and we have that assurance simply because we've seen him do it in the past. Thumb through the scriptures. He did it for Elijah. Fact of the matter is, he did it on two occasions. There was one time when Ahab, the king of Israel, had done evil in the sight of God. And God sent Elijah with a message for the king. And this is what he said. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither rain nor dew on the earth except at my word. That's exactly the way it happened. A scorching drought came over the whole land. And to protect Elijah, God sent him to the brook Cherith to hide. And as long as the drought lasted, God provided for Elijah. You know how he did that? A raven brought some bread and some meat every morning and every evening. There was another time when Elijah had his confrontation with the 400 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And after it was all over, Elijah killed all of those prophets at the brook Kishon. But when Jezebel heard what he had done to her prophet, she was furious. And she sent him a message. I will make your life like one of them by this time tomorrow. Well, Elijah was frightened to death. And we see him running out into the wilderness, running for his life. And he's hiding in a cave. And God comes to provide for him. When he awakens one morning and comes out of the cave, there's a cake baked on the hot stones. And a jar of water. Did you know Jesus did it also? That was the occasion that Jesus had taken his disciples up into the mountains for a weekend retreat. He needed to get his disciples away from the crowds of people so that he could continue his preparation so that they would be ready for the work that he is calling them to do after he had ascended. Well, as it had always happened, the people found out where he was and they came. More than 5,000 of them. When Jesus saw them coming, rather than being angry, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he loved them. And he turned aside to teach them and to minister to them. And as the day wore on, the disciples became more and more nervous because they didn't have enough food to feed that crowd. They said, Jesus, send them away. Jesus answered, no, you give them something to eat. The disciples were dumbfounded. They only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus blessed it and gave it to the people. And we read, all ate and were satisfied. Fact of the matter, they took up 12 baskets of scraps when it was all over. You know, what Jesus has done in the past, he continues to do today. And so we can come this morning and we can stand in his presence. Father, give us today our daily bread. And he will do it. Oh, he might not do it as dramatically as he did it in the past. Do misunderstand me. He can do it that way if he chooses. You see, he can do anything he wants to do. That's not the normal way he does it today. And I have a feeling if he did it as dramatically as he did it in that day, we probably couldn't stand it. But even though he does not do it as dramatically today as he has done it in the past, he does it just as surely as he did. You know, he may very well do that by providing you the opportunity to work and earn a living. And you can take the money that you make and use that to buy food and the necessities of life. What is that but God providing for us our daily needs? Or he may very well do that through a friend or through this body of Christ. You may be out of work and unable to find a job today. You may be hard-pressed and not know where to turn. And it is here that the body of Christ comes together. They come to surround you and to love you and to provide for the physical needs that you have today. What is that but God providing for us? Or he may very well do it in a way that you least expect. We have not yet even imagined the vehicles that God can use to provide for us the needs that we have in our everyday life. But he does it. You see, the important thing is not how does he do it, but that you and I must be ready to receive his provision any way he decides to give it, and to do it with thanksgiving. But you know, there's one more thing that needs to be said. Anytime Jesus makes a promise, he always puts a condition with that promise, and the condition must be fulfilled for the promise to be fulfilled. He does that here. In Matthew's account of our scripture, Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So do not worry." Then he goes on, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you." Let me ask you a question. Do you want God's provision for your life today? Yes? Then live in the kingdom of God. How do we live in the kingdom of God? But he's already told us that. We live in the kingdom of God when we live in his righteousness and his peace and his joy. And when we are living in his kingdom, all of these things that we need will be provided for us through the loving hand of a mighty God. We come this morning to find ourselves standing in the presence of the Lord. We have been worshiping and magnifying and glorifying his name. And we hear him say, "That's not all. Pray for yourself." We say, "Father, give us this day our daily bread." And he opens his hands and we are fed. Can you come into his presence this morning with all of the faith that he has given to you? Pray that part of the prayer. "Give us this day our daily bread," with your hands held out in thanksgiving to receive the bounty of his provision. Father, give us today our daily bread.